Anyway, just so glad to be with you today, and I just feel humbled and honored that that I could be here, and thank you for letting me share this morning. I just want to take a few minutes and bring you to a great story that Jesus shared. Did you know that Jesus was a great storyteller? Anybody believe that? Yeah, greatest storyteller in all of the world. The thing that was so beautiful about the way that Jesus told stories is that when he would tell a story, he would use the most common things in the culture. If he was here today, he'd talk about why we can't get Wi-Fi some places. He'd talk about the construction. He'd talk about traffic. He'd talk about a number of things that would be common to our lives. The reason why is because Jesus had a supernatural capacity to take what was ordinary and bring out of it a revelation of truth and spiritual dynamic that was transformative. And because of that, I want to look at one of the stories that Jesus taught in the New Testament in the book of Matthew. And I believe that this story really answers one of the biggest questions that our culture is asking. And because of that, I'm just, again, so in awe of the timeless message of Jesus. And so if you'll allow me just a few minutes to share with you, I'd like to unpack that with you. But before I do, maybe you're here today and you can identify with me in that this time of the year, the only thing that seems to grow on my grass are weeds. Yeah. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The thing about weeds is you don't have to water them, right? You don't have to talk nice to them. You don't have to do anything to them. In fact, they just grow even when you don't want them to. You deal with a weed over here. The next thing you know, the weed pops up over here. I had a neighbor that had weeds in his yard, and I was like, oh, too bad for him. The next day I come out, and those weeds were over in my yard. And you know, the only time I get my lawnmower out these days is not to mow my grass, but to mow my weeds. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's terrible. If it wasn't for those weeds, I could be relaxing in my house. But no, I'm mowing down dandelions. The reality is weeds come, and Jesus knew this, and so he told a story about weeds, weeds and wheat mixed together, so something that's good and something that's bad, and they're mixed together, and as a result, something happens that teaches us a reality, not just about what happens in your grass every year, but about what happens in this world. I told you that we're going to address one of the biggest questions that our culture is asking. It's a question that people ask in the church. It's maybe a question you've asked. But the reality is you don't have to be a Christian to ask this question. In fact, many people who aren't Christians are asking this question all the time. In fact, for some people, this is the question that keeps them from trusting Jesus. So I want us to look at this question together and look at how Jesus masterfully, through the scripture, actually reveals to us an answer to the question before it was ever even asked, before any of us ever asked it. And so the question is this: if God is so good, why is there evil in the world? That's a big question, isn't it? I mean, that's one that people have built theories around. That's one that really solidifies people's perspectives in life. But I believe that Jesus in the Word addresses this for us so beautifully. And so I want us to now look at this story together in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. I'm just going to read the story and then unpack just a little bit of it. And then we'll kind of move into some thoughts surrounding it. So Matthew 13, verse 24. God, thank you for helping your Word to land well in our hearts. It's life transformative. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn." So this is a story that Jesus tells. Now, later on, he begins to explain the story to the disciples. And so let me just give you the big pieces, because what Jesus does in his explanation is he gives context to the story. So I'll just do this with you for a minute, and then we'll jump right into some thoughts around it. What you have to see here is that there's a farmer, and Jesus says the farmer is himself, the Son of Man. That's what he says. There's also a field, and the field is the world. That's what Jesus says. And then he says that there is an enemy, and the enemy comes into that field. Now, this is an interesting point, because it's very important for us to recognize that this is Jesus talking, and Jesus makes it abundantly clear that there is an enemy. He says that the enemy is the devil. Now, we don't like to talk about the devil. In fact, we've turned him into this little this little cartoon character, you know, with red skin and a red suit and a cape and a pitchfork and horns, right? And so he's become kind of this little character that sits on one shoulder and then an angel pops onto the other and, you know, kind of speaks good and bad into your life, right? And so we kind of have that picture of the enemy. But the way Jesus describes the enemy is that he is intensely purposeful in his actions and that he is after destruction in the field of your life. And so that's very important for us to recognize, not because we should be afraid, but because Jesus makes it abundantly clear that this is a reality for all of us. So we've got this field, we've got a farmer who's Jesus, the field is the world. The enemy comes in and sows bad seed into that field. And that bad seed, Jesus says, these are the ones who are under the control of that enemy, or even more so, as you unpack what he actually says, is they are the ones, not only people, but also circumstances and situations that rule in a way that causes negativity and loss. But then he also says that there's wheat. The wheat's the good stuff. The wheat, Jesus says, are the sons of the kingdom. In other words, they're those who love what the farmer is planting. They're those who are wanting to be a part of this harvest. They're ones that are tending the field, that are trying to water things, that are a part of it, that love the harvest, and they notice that something's wrong, right? Those are you and me, people who love Jesus and love his coming. And so we're in the story as well. Then he says that there's an end of time, and at that end of time, the angels, which are the harvesters, not you and me, but the angels, are going to come and separate things. This is a really important story, and it does answer the question, why, if God is so good, why is there evil in the world? You see, if you back up in this same text for just a little bit, you would discover another story. It's called the parable of the sower. Has anybody ever heard of the parable of the sower? If you have, lift up your hand, raise it, kind of shake it like this. Okay. That story is about a guy, a farmer, who goes out and scatters seed, and he scatters it in different places, and it has a different result based on the environment that it falls into. You with me? One of the parts of that story says that the farmer sowed seed among the weeds. So the weeds were there first, and then he sowed the seed, and the seed tried to grow and was choked out. Now Jesus is flipping the illustration on its head just a little bit farther down. He's saying, there was good soil. What God has done is good. What he has planted in the world is good. God is the author of what is blessing and what is fruitful and what is purposeful. But then a purposeful enemy comes and plants evil among it. So the wheat is there first and the weeds were sown in. So it's just the flip of the story. And that's what we want to address today. Why is there evil if God is good? You see, Jesus is helping us see it here. What we have to do firstly is we have to find our place in the story. Did you know that you're in this story? I gave you a clue just a little bit. We're talking about you're really one of two things, okay? In the story, you're either weeds or you're wheat. That's your only option. That's the only place you fit in the story. You're either weed or wheat. So now turn to the person next to you and tell them what you are. Are you weeds or are you wheat? Go ahead, tell them. If people are like, I'm not saying anything. Maybe if you're here with your spouse can tell you what you are, okay? That might help. We don't want any marital unrest today. Weeds or wheat. Yeah, I mean, those are our only two options. Really, when we look at the story, it's one of two options. We could also be the farmer's workers as well, which are those who love the kingdom, as I mentioned. But either you're a weed or a wheat, okay? So that's kind of where we land in the story. Now, in order for us to answer this big question, why, if God is good, is there evil in the world, we literally have to reframe the question because the question is marred in that the question suggests that evil exists out there and God should fix it. When we think about evil that's objective, that's out there in the world, like poverty and injustice and human trafficking and dictatorships and ISIS and all that, we look out there and we see that evil out there and we say, God, why don't you do something about that? But the reality is we have to understand that our field, our heart is a field as well. You get it? My heart is a field as well. In other words, there are things that are planted in me that are both weeds and wheat. See, the reality is not that there's evil out there in the world that God needs to deal with, but that there's evil in my heart. That there are times where I'm not happy with the level of selfishness I carry. I'm not happy with my pride. I'm not happy with my desire to gossip or my want for more money. I'm not happy with those things. And they testify to the reality that right here, even in my own heart, there is a field and there are both weeds and wheat that are growing here. And you know what? When we think about what's going on out there in the world, we say, God, zap them. God, you know, deal with that bad stuff out there. God, why don't you just send like a lightning bolt, and why don't you send your army with flaming swords to wipe them out? Lord, get rid of them. But then all of a sudden, when you bring it back to the context of your very own heart, aren't you thankful that God is patient, that God is gracious, that God is kind, that God is loving and merciful and continues to call to you, to invite you to love him and to serve him and to find him in a greater way in your life? Aren't you thankful for that all of a sudden? And so now we're able to understand. Now we're able to actually see, why is it that there is evil in this world if God is so good? Because God loves you, and God loves me, and God is patient, and he's waiting for transformation in your life and in my life. So when I begin to value the field of my own heart, I realize why God allows at times there to be this mixture of good and evil, this mixture of weeds. But friends, there's always wheat too. There's always good in the midst of what may seem as though it's only evil. Jesus was right. Our world is so full of weeds. You know, think about Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, women were treated like animals, like dogs. In Jesus' day, 3/4 of the Roman Empire were slaves. Can you believe that? It was a day of bloody wars where it was the pleasure of kings to send men into battle only to be slaughtered. You see, in Jesus' day, there was weeds. But it's not just in Jesus' day. How many of you realize that in our world, yes, there's wheat, but there's weeds here too, isn't there? You know, like here we are celebrating the beautiful Nola's arrival, this precious gift to Evan and Kendall. And aren't you happy for this new life? Don't you want to celebrate that with him? Don't you want to just bless them and love on this baby and pray for this baby? And don't you just want to give them tons and tons of money? And don't you want to bless them with a trip to Hawaii? And don't you want to offer to babysit every night in Jesus' name to bless your pastor? How'd I do? Is it good? All right, good. That's why he had me up, you know. Really, we have this whole sense of joy around the arrival of a beautiful baby, and yet, you know what? A statistic that's all the way back to 2005 suggests that there is 100,000 babies that are killed by abortion every year in Canada. That's weeds and wheat growing together. You see it? We can celebrate life, and yet, oh, the weeds, right? Think about just, you know, your life, your neighborhood, your friends. There are places and times where you see people who are so prosperous and so blessed, and they've got so much, and they're living in favor, and more than that, they're living a fulfilling life, they're enjoying their life, they're making a difference and an impact, and then right next door are people who are struggling with addiction, who are dealing with broken homes, who are victims of abuse, right? Weeds and wheat, friends, it's so clear. Jesus was right. There's weeds in our world, weeds and wheat growing together. So, when we look at the story, we find our remedy. We have a remedy. You know, the workers that were in the field, they had a remedy. And you know, what did they say? Hey, master, should we pull up the weeds? That's our remedy. Our remedy is pull them out. Pull out the weeds. Rip them up. Get them out of here. And Jesus said, no. You can't focus on the weeds. Hey, did you hear that? Don't focus on the weeds. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't focus on the weeds. Why? Well, let me explain to you why. First reason why you can't focus on the weeds is because the truth is, the reality, and I don't mean to insult anybody's intelligence, is we're simply not smart enough to focus on the weeds. What I mean by this, and not to insult your intelligence or your ability to reason properly, but that these weeds were a tremendous counterfeit. You see, these weeds that grew up with the wheat were known as bearded darnel. And bearded darnel was actually known as like a counterfeit to wheat. In fact, it was only when the wheat was full grown and began to bloom the head that you could tell the difference between the weeds and the wheat. They look almost identical as they're growing. In fact, there are farmers in Palestine that are still fooled to this day by bearded darnel. So in other words, what Jesus is illustrating for us is sometimes what you think is evil is actually working in his good. Sometimes what you're seeing is not what reality is all about. In fact, the greatest picture of this is, do you realize that the Pharisees and the religious leaders, the teachers of the law, they thought that they were eradicating a weed from Israel when they crucified Jesus. So the reality is we can't see it clear enough. We can't see it clear enough, and we're much too quick to judge. And we think we can see it. We think it's clear to us. That's bad. Let's get it out of here. And in friends, in reality, that may be something that is still yet to be determined. And there's a time when the end will come, and where the harvest will come, and where the separation will happen. But it's not now. It's not right now. And so Jesus says, don't focus on the weeds. Don't focus on the weeds. Another reason why Jesus says not to focus on the weeds is because if we do, we hurt the church. Because remember, it's the sons and daughters of the kingdom that are the wheat in this story. And why? What was the response of the farmer when the workers suggested that the weeds be pulled? He said, no. Why? Because you'll damage the wheat. See, something happens when we become weed pickers. And we start to pull out weeds, and as a result, we make a mess. You know, I think about it in the context of my own church. There was this family, and there was a father who was actually causing quite a bit of trouble, and he was making a bit of a mess. And what I had to determine was, if I deal with that individual, what wheat am I tearing up? I look next to him, and I see his beautiful wife, loving Jesus. I see his three beautiful children serving in ministry in our church and loving the Lord and building relationship and community. Is it worth it to yank up that weed because I'm having a challenging time with this individual? Oh, I could make a strong case for why he's wrong and why I'm right, but you know what I'm doing? I'm tearing up the wheat with the weeds. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. There's a time when things will come together, and we've got to understand it. As soon as we take on a judgmental spirit, you know what happens to you and me? We become harsh. We become hardened. We pick up judgmental spirit, and as a result, we're robbed of trust in Jesus. Why? Because we become the morality police. We're going to sort it out. I'm here to fix this problem. I'm God's official kingdom weed picker, and I'm here to sort out all the challenges here because I've got the capacity to judge. And as a result, what happens in us is we are assigning to ourselves a job that we simply cannot do. God hasn't designed us for that. We can't see it clearly, and in the process, we damage the church. So the third reason why I really believe Jesus says don't focus on the weeds really kind of just flows right out of what I was just sharing about the church. And that is that we're really called to build, not to tear down. We're called to build, not destroy. That's our job. That's your job and my job. We're here to be a part of the kingdom, to see the kingdom advance, to build the kingdom. That's what we're here to do. And every time we pull out weeds, yes, the wheat is the casualty. And if we just determine that it's worth it because we need to get rid of these weeds, then what we're going to be left with is not a harvest, but a wasteland. And I don't think that's the kingdom's goal. You see, Jesus is sharing an illustration, and what he says is, here's what the kingdom is like. The weeds and the wheat growing together. We can't sort it out. We don't have the vision for it. We will damage the church. And besides that, we're called to build and not destroy. But there will be a day in the end where Jesus has his way. And let's look at Jesus' remedy now. That's our remedy. You see the problem with it. Jesus' remedy is what he shares in the scripture. Let them both grow together. So now let me ask you again the question, because I think maybe some of you can answer it now. Why is there evil in the world if God is so good? The reality is that they're going to grow together. We're going to be suffering and joy mixed together. As Kierkegaard said, that's the Christian experience. Sorrow and joy tightly woven together. You see, and so there's this sense that yes, God says, let them grow together. Because here's the reality, and here's where I want to encourage you, is that the weeds will not destroy the wheat. Amen? There's no evidence of it in the scripture. In fact, Jesus says, leave the weeds because we have to preserve the wheat. Do you see the difference? We get fearful and we say, we got to get rid of these weeds because they're going to destroy the wheat. That's not what the story teaches us. It teaches us actually in trying to pull up the weeds, you destroy the wheat. But if you let them grow together, then something miraculous happens. You see, because the wheat is not destroyed by the weeds, but the wheat was not designed to pull out the weeds either. It doesn't work. It's not the nature of it. And so you have to let them grow together. And sometimes we function in fear, and that can be a problem for us. So let's, in Jesus' name, just put down our fears and our concerns, and let's trust the farmer that this is his field. We don't have to be worried about what Donald Trump's going to do and what Hillary Clinton's going to do. We don't have to be, you know what, we can pray and we can trust God. I can say that because I'm an American, by the way, and I don't know who in the world should be the president. Maybe you. Anyway, you know, Jesus never attacked. There's some evidence in the scripture of him speaking truth very harshly, very strongly. But Jesus never attacked people. In fact, he says in the scriptures in Matthew 7, you know what? Do to others whatever you'd like them to do to you. You've heard that before, haven't you? That's the nature of Christ and his kingdom. You know, I don't see any evidence of Jesus doing anything but showing goodness and revealing truth and revealing God. In fact, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And what happens when Christ is revealed? His lives are changed. You see, as we kind of wrap things up today, I just want you to think about this. There's no place in the scriptures where we can see, you know, we can't point to the Bible and say, right here is where Paul denounced Jupiter and attacked the temple where the God of the sky was worshipped by the Romans. We don't have any place in scripture to look and see where John stood against the worshipers of Mars, the god of war. There's no place in scripture where we see Peter rebuking those who had faith in Venus, the goddess of love. There's no place in scripture, but what we do see is them continually planting seeds, continually affirming the kingdom, and as a result, that kingdom grew all across the globe. It has touched every facet of life and every place on the planet. In fact, you and I are here today because of the choices that they made to plant the seeds of the kingdom and to grow themselves into maturity. Can someone say amen for that? So we're learning. Jesus is teaching us. This story is about you and me. It's about understanding that we're supposed to be a church, the church of Jesus Christ, that is known by what they stand for, not by what they stand against. And so let us forever continue to lift Jesus high, because when people see Jesus, what happens is they realize how unsatisfying their life is. And then Jesus gets the glory and the kingdom continues to advance. Amen? How are we doing on time? What time am I supposed to be done? Oh, I still have 5 minutes. So let me kind of bring us in for a landing here on this last thing. How is it that you and I can live in this world that's mixed with good and evil? Because it is mixed, and we have to live here. It's a reality of weeds and wheat. It's a reality that there is evil in this world because God loves people and he's patient. And though evil exists in my heart, God wants to see it removed and as a result, removed from my world someday. You see, Romans 12:21 says it this way. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. So there's something here for us, friends. What does the wheat need to do in the story? The wheat needs to grow into maturity. Hey, the wheat needs to become fruitful. The wheat needs to reproduce seeds, and as a result, then more fields can have good seed in it. Amen? Then more places can have the kingdom existing. You see, this is the picture. And so I'll give you 3 ideas here. The first one that I think we can kind of hang on to here, friends, let's be positive. In other words, let's preach a positive gospel. Amen? And let's be people who live a positive life. Let's be characterized by love because of Jesus and by joy because we have the Spirit of the living God in us and we will not be shaken. Amen? I mean, beyond that, really being positive is great, but we also need to be productive, right? Wheat is a picture of nourishment. Wheat was a picture of sustenance, of development, of growth and blessing and fruitfulness, and so should be our lives. Amen? As we're waiting for God to come and someday separate the weeds from the wheat, let us be productive. Let us do everything we can. And finally, finally, I'm closing with this thought is, oh, Lord, teach us to be patient. Is anybody like me just have a little trouble with patience? I definitely have a little trouble with patience. In fact, I was going to try to put together a sort of a support group for people with impatience, but I just got so impatient with it that I gave it up. You see, our job is to wait for the farmer to tell us when the harvest is coming in, right? We just work the field. We just love what the Lord is doing, and we just patiently wait as we grow and as we're fruitful, and we wait for Jesus to make it right. Why don't you pray with me? Let's just take a moment before the Lord. I'm inviting the worship team to come, and they're going to prepare a song for us, and we're going to sing and let that be our response. But there may be some of you that are saying, you know, Andy, you asked us to self-identify, and I was being playful, but some of you were able to say, you know what, I guess when I look at my life, I've got to say, really, I feel more like a weed than I do like wheat. And you know what, if you were to leave with that kind of a sense in your heart, I would just feel so discouraged by that. Let me tell you why. Because one thing that I'm so confident of, one thing that I know for certain, is that the Creator is also the Transformer. And the Spirit of the Living God wants to blow upon us and bring transformation. So if you feel like you're our weed today, let me tell you, it's so simple. You just reach out to Jesus. Receive His grace, His mercy, His love for you. Receive that today, because in doing so, what you are experiencing is the transformation. It's only the Creator who can turn weeds into wheat. And He'll do that in your life. There's testimonies about that all over this room. And He'll do that in your life. You simply reach out for Him. The Bible's so clear. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Why don't you reach out to Jesus today? Just say, Jesus, come. Jesus, transform my life. Jesus, fill me with Your love and with Your truth. Thank You for how patient You have been with me. Thank You for how much You've expressed Your love to me. Thank You for the way that You have called me to Yourself. Even today, I just receive Your love for me. Thank You, Jesus. Teach me, Lord, how to grow and be fruitful. For others of us, we're looking around at our world and we're seeing places where weeds are present, and we're so tempted to yank them out. Maybe you're dealing with a spouse and it's just such a difficult situation. There seems to be some real challenges in your married life. And you're so tempted to just start pulling weeds. But you know what? May the grace of Jesus be upon you today to believe for the God who transforms. And recognize that you pulling weeds doesn't change them, but Jesus certainly can. Pray that He'll breathe on your spouse. For some of you, you're dealing with children and they're making decisions and choices, and you can see it all around, and you see where the weeds are growing as a result, and you want to deal with that. You want to yank those things out. Listen, let me just remind you that Jesus is the one who transforms, and He wants to bless your children. He wants to help them. He wants to reveal Himself to them. And you know what? You run the risk in yanking out the weeds of uprooting the good things God might be doing. Is there a way that He can teach you to be an agent of grace in the lives of your children? As we continue to pray, I think there's some of you that might be in a workplace environment, and right now in that workplace, you are so tempted to pull the weeds out of somebody. You're dealing with a difficult situation. You're dealing with a relational disconnect or a bad attitude, and you really are ready on Monday to let them have it. Listen, may the grace of God be upon you, that you might see that He's a transforming God. There'll be a day when things will be made right, but right now, your job is to grow, and the irritants in your life will produce good fruit in you as Jesus helps you. Lord, we now come to You at the end of this service and just ask in Jesus' name, for those who are reaching out to You, that they might experience the life-transforming truth of Jesus taking root in their hearts, because you say, whoever calls on your name will be saved. So Jesus, there's some who are calling on you. For others of us here, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you would truly and earnestly give us the grace we need so that the relationships around us, Lord, will not be negatively impacted by us doing a job that's not ours to do. And we will trust you again. In Jesus' awesome name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It's great to have Pastor Andy here, hey? As these guys are playing in the background, they're playing a song called Good Good Father. And what I'm about to say may ruin this song for you. I don't know. But I can't help but sing the song, You're a Good Good Farmer. Hey? Do you trust God with the field? Do you trust him with the wheat and the weeds? Do you trust him with the harvest? Do you trust him with what he's doing? Are you trying to take God's control and you deal with the field? Or can you trust the good, good farmer to deal with the field, deal with the harvest, to deal with the weeds and the wheat? Because he can, and we can. He's capable, and we are not. He's discerning, and unless he makes us discerning, we can't figure it out ourselves. He's the good, good farmer. Next week, we'd still probably just sing Good, Good Father. Probably not going to change the song. But let's trust him with the field this week, hey? Let's trust that God knows what he's doing, that God is growing wheat, that he can still grow in you amidst a world of weeds, that he can do something special in the Comox Valley, even when we look around and feel like there's a whole lot of weeds, a whole lot of evil, a whole lot of darkness, a whole lot of things that aren't all that hopeful. Let's believe that God's doing some great work in producing some hope, in producing some life, in producing some joy through you, the wheat. He's a good, good farmer. Amen? Amen. Well, have a great week this week. We love you. Thanks for coming here and being with us this week. And come on back next week. We've got another special guest coming. Daniel Eliason will be coming right off of Mids Camp. And he'll be coming to speak here. A bunch of us will be away at teen camp. I'll be preaching there, so pray for us. And we'll see you very soon. Have a great week this week.